Marrying our existing expertise in decarbonization and infrastructure, it's a perfect partnership.
I completely agree with Larry. This is going to be the golden age of infrastructure investing, both in terms of the need for capital as well as investors who want that capital. Okay.
In a move that's raising alarms across the nation, BlackRock, through its 2024 acquisition of Global Infrastructure Partners, or GIP, has surged into direct ownership of U.S. energy infrastructure.
BlackRock, one of the largest asset managers on Earth, which owns just about everything, appears to be quietly buying up huge pieces of the U.S. energy grid. But don't worry, they say it's all about building infrastructure for artificial intelligence, so don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
Shifting from passive investor to hands-on controller of critical utilities and grids.
The company BlackRock that's f***ing everybody in America, they're going to be buying utility companies now. That's right, utility companies. They've already purchased an electric company up in Minnesota. You. They have plans to invest hundreds of billions of dollars into the utility market here in the United States so you can watch your electricity and gas bills go up to nosebleed levels.
The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approved a $6.2 billion takeover of Elite, parent of Minnesota Power, by a BlackRock-led consortium with Canada Pension Plan in October of 2025, granting private equity majority control over power serving 150,000 customers.
This $6.2 billion deal follows months of debate and pushback from groups across Minnesota.
It is not always going to be in the financial best interest of BlackRock to keep our rates as low as possible. That's not the business that they're in. They're in the business of making profit from as many things as possible.
I'm a Minnesota Power customer. So if you have read stories over the years about beloved brands like Joann's or Red Lobster being driven into the ground by private equity, now imagine if that was your utility, because that's where private equity sector is going, as they have extracted all of the value out of the retail and service sector that they can. They are increasingly turning their attention to infrastructure and the things that make up the material basis of our lives.
Meanwhile, GIP is in advanced talks for a potential $38 billion acquisition of AES Corporation, which is a major player with renewable assets nationwide.
Larry's team drafts the game plan for restructuring portfolios, valuing toxic assets, and bailing out collapsing banks. Larry Fink had turned the greatest financial disaster of a generation into his greatest triumph. While American finance takes years to rebound, he emerges with friends in high places, more money than ever, and what he's always wanted: the influence of a president, a company like a world power, without a single campaign nor a single vote, true power. And while no one was taking notice, he has created a playing field where, no matter what, BlackRock always wins.
Thousands of miles of overhead pylons will be erected to connect offshore wind farms, solar farms, data sheds, and millions of cars and other renewable sources to that national grid.
In Texas, BlackRock's footprint grows via GIP-owned firms like Eolian, developing massive battery storage projects such as the Padua Complex near San Antonio to stabilize ERCOT amid retiring fossil plants and exploding AI-driven demand.
Blackstone is currently in the process of purchasing the Texas-New Mexico grid. BlackRock actually started under Blackstone, and while they still claim that they're separate now, if you look at their yearly reports and their quarterly reports, they still push the ESG narrative. The Texas Attorney General here has a lawsuit against BlackRock for that very reason, where they were manipulating the grids and pushing solar and wind technology and offsetting coal and oil and gas because of them pushing this ESG narrative.
Consumer advocates and experts warn of profit-driven models loading debt onto the utilities, slashing accountability, and hiking residential bills to subsidize big tech clients, eroding public oversight of essential infrastructure serving millions, and private equity prioritizes returns over resilience. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on over here to catch you up on. It was a busy night. Many of you guys probably saw the updates were pouring in yesterday, so we'll be bringing that to you throughout today's show. But folks, today's a big day. Today's a big day. Today is the Epstein file drop. The DOJ is expected to push out those documents today. That is their deadline that was set by Congress. The Deputy AG, Todd Blanche, just spoke moments ago. We'll get you that clip in a bit in regards to just that. But there's a lot going on over here. We're excited that you're jumping on board with us today. Again, this has been long overdue at this point. Long overdue. Now, don't get too excited. I won't sell you a dream. I will tell you that it's very likely that these will be heavily redacted because that's the name of the game. The name of the game is to mislead the American people. They've done this before. We're not going to pretend like they're not capable of doing it again, but we're going to keep our eye on this. And it just so happens that today's a Friday. So I guess everything that drops on a Friday, I always say, is supposed to intentionally just be a distraction. Because what they know is this, right? They know that most of the time, they could drop these maybe at like 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Most of you guys go home. You spend time with your families right before the holidays. Just so happens to be that. And you're not really paying attention. You're distracted. In the news world, we actually used to call this just a media dump. You want to burn something that doesn't catch the mainstream media's attention, you drop it 5 p.m. Eastern time on a Friday. But according to Todd Blanche, there's going to be thousands of documents released today. And it's all different types of documents. Images, I'm assuming, as well. We'll play that clip for you in a bit. But we're expecting that any hour now. We'll keep you up to date, of course, when that does drop. It'll be very extensive and very lengthy to read through, of course. But let's catch you up on what's going on over the White House. Hey, the president is expected to make an announcement at 1 p.m. Eastern time today from the Roosevelt Room. We'll be keeping our eye on that. President Trump was also participating in the Christmas reception at 5:45 p.m. Eastern today. And then later today, President Trump will be heading over to North Carolina, it looks like, because he's expected to deliver remarks on the economy at 9 p.m. Eastern today. So a lot going on for him. We're almost there, though. We're almost at the holiday point. I know many of you guys at home right now are very excited about Christmas. I know I am. It's kind of crazy. Time really flew by. It truly, truly did. And to see everything happening at the White House, it's incredible, right? Because I remember seeing all of the stuff trickling over the summertime, and I was like, oh, I can't even think about Christmas right now. There's so much going on. And here we are. All right, yesterday you may have seen it, but there was an update regarding the Brown and MIT shooting. As many of you guys know, an MIT professor, scientist, was murdered shortly after the Brown shooting. Now, it looks like, we're going to dig into this a bit, it looks like the individual who's responsible for those shootings is now deceased. Now, the reason why I'm announcing both of these shootings at once is because you'll hear it in clip 11. Law enforcement late last night announced that they are actually connecting both of those shootings, and they believe that the same individual who carried out this horrific crime was behind both of these fatal shootings. Take a listen to clip 11.
The car that he had used to not only drive to Rhode Island, but then back to Boston. And then there was a security footage that captured him within a half mile of the professor's residence in Brookline. And there is a video footage of him entering an apartment building in the location of the professor's apartment. And then later that evening, he is seen about an hour later entering the storage unit wearing the same clothes that he had been seen wearing right after the murder.
So you have an extensive video canvas as part of this investigation. That leaves you no doubt.
This is the evidence we have right now. We are coming to you tonight because the federal complaint was unsealed, and we wanted to provide you with the information and to assure the public that law enforcement collectively believe that we have the person, that we identified the person, and that person is dead, and that he was the person responsible not only for the Brown shootings, but for the Brookline shooting.
All right, so as you heard there, they believe the shooter is officially dead. Now, this individual is not an American citizen. Important to note that. Apparently, he died by suicide. That's what they're claiming, of course. Claudio Valadin is his name. And folks, when we go through the details, let's do just that. The information pouring out is quite interesting. You know, the FBI announced yesterday that the suspect was someone who is not, again, from here. He's from Portugal. And we'll get into his citizenship in just a bit because, of course, he was one of those many who were brought into this country. They called it a lottery. Well, not really a lottery when you look at the kind of quality of people brought into this country. And they're saying motive is unclear, but this was the FBI update yesterday as everything went down. Take a listen to clip one.
Yes, it is true that Mr. Valente was a physics student. Also, we know that the MIT, the victim there, was in that discipline as well. I will tell you that there's multiple phases to an investigation. And so now, in a sense that we know the subject is deceased, now that investigation continues to find out all of those answers to your question, sir.
Did he go to school with the professor? Did he go to school with the professor who was killed? Can Brown answer that?
It is believed that in Lisbon that those two individuals attended the same university in Portugal. And for the
So obviously this is personal. This is personal. And I wanted to jump into this too because, you know, Jack Posobiec actually yesterday, we'll play clip three for you, we'll bounce around a bit, because Jack Posobiec yesterday did announce that according to his sources that the shooter did in fact go up to Ella Cook. Now, Ella Cook is one of the victims over in that horrific shooting in Brown University, at Brown University. And he's reporting that Ella was shot multiple times in the head by the shooter, and that she was the initial target. Take a quick listen to how Jack Posobiec detailed his sources and what they're telling him.
The information I received does come from an extremely well-placed source, very high-level source, and someone who has a, let's just say, familial connection to one of the people that have been involved in this case. And the information that we've received, story that's come out of there, is that this was in fact targeted, that the assailant came in and fired multiple rounds directly at Ella Cook, and that the story that is coming up, that's being told at least by students on campus and people who are directly involved in this, is that seemed like she was the main target and everyone else was incidental. Now again,
it seemed, hang on, but also this person, the familial issue, is someone that was wounded, not killed, but was wounded in the shooting. And this is what they referred, they told, this is what their story is about what happened there, correct?
This is the story from in the room. Yes, and from, this is what we're hearing from someone who was, like I said, directly involved in the situation.
And it was no doubt in their mind that Ella Cook was targeted and was actually the reason this it looked like this thing took place, or was the focus of attention by the assailant, correct?
That was the very question I asked. I said, did it seem that Ella was the target? They said, yes, Ella was the target. Everyone else was incidental to being in the room. And that I did also ask regarding, was there any familiarity? Did someone recognize the assailant? They said, no. And I said, what about these comments about a statement that was made or a a phrase that was shouted, and it was unclear.
And as you guys can see there, it is very, very concerning as to those updates, because we were not aware there was really a target. They kept telling us there was no way that there was a target in any of this, that she wasn't targeted. They thought this was random. Again, we don't know what was yelled out. We'll get into that in a little bit, but it's important to note that according to authorities, they believe that this case was pretty much busted wide open after, well, a homeless person came forward. Interesting enough, a homeless hero was credited, according to New York Post, with cracking the shooting at the Brown University MIT wide open after he confronted the gunman. As the feds say, he is now entitled to the staggering $50,000 reward. The tipster, known as John, was key to police eventually IDing Claudia, who is the shooter, as the suspect after he offered up a key information on the 48-year-old perp, his car specifically, following an encounter, an odd encounter with him on the road or on the day of the shooting. So again, very important that we talk about just that. Folks, it wasn't the cameras. And they keep saying that they had cameras. Can't show you any footage, though. They didn't show us any footage. Only used neighborhood footage. I want to play this, too, because I thought this was interesting. Again, we keep asking these questions. We've asked here over at InfoWars, what was screamed out by the shooter prior to opening fire? And if Ella was the target, what did he say to her? Because obviously this is something that's personal. Take a listen to clip two as to how the Rhode Island AG responded in regards to what was yelled out in that classroom before he opened fire.
And so that's why he followed him out. In terms of what was said, I don't know any more today than what I told you yesterday, or the day before. There are some witnesses who said he said nothing. There are some that say he made a barking noise. Don't ask me. I don't know why. And that's it. There is no other spoken word beyond that that we are aware of, as we stand before you tonight. And we have spoken to everybody that we have been able to locate who's been inside that building.
And just again
and again and again, we keep hearing this. They won't tell us what was said. There's no way they didn't know what he said. There's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way. And so many people in that classroom, we haven't yet heard from any witnesses. It's quite strange. It's quite strange. We only have what police have given us. And that's not much. So what's going on here? How come we haven't even had one single individual from that classroom come forward and speak to the media? Is someone telling them not to speak to the media? Because, I mean, it's 2025. It's so easy to have your side of a story heard. Post on social media. You talk to a local news outlet. The desire to have these people on a cable news show is extremely high right now. And for some reason, all of those people in the classroom are unable to come out and speak. It doesn't make sense, folks. None of this makes sense. Time and time again, in the aftermath of all of this, while they were searching for the shooter, they told us they didn't have any real footage from on the campus. They were showing us neighborhood footage, Ring doorbell footage. It was crappy. You couldn't see the person's face. And this was the best they had? It's really hard for me to wrap my mind around all of this and think this is just a personal situation here. This person knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly what he was doing. And the Brown University president, I mean, you might as well resign after this. But she has just been completely horrific in her handling in all of this from day one. No information, refusing to help the public understand what the heck happened that day. And then she's been grilled multiple times in regards to why we haven't seen anything, why we haven't seen any actual footage. She was grilled yesterday again by reporters. Take a listen to her response and also look at her body language, because that's really telling here. Take a look.
Video played a big role in this case. The neighbor's video, the rental car video, but not the video from the building that he walked in freely both before when he got in the confrontation and when he came back in and decided to kill people. You didn't have cameras in that building. Just say it so we can get this over. And my next question is, will you put
Dan,
cameras
in, follow up.
Will
yeah.
you put the cameras in that building? Yeah. We want cameras in that building.
Yeah, you know, I think we need to look back. We'll look at everything that is done, but I do not think a lack of cameras in that building it had anything to do with what happened there. And we will
Thank
go
you,
forward.
Right over here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so she's just going to be completely dismissive of all of this and says, oh, well, we don't know. We don't know. Yeah, well, listen, okay, you were unable to get an image of the suspect out there to the American people. You possibly were the reason why that MIT professor was later killed. This could have been prevented. This could have been stopped if they would have done their due diligence. And by the way, non-U.S. citizen, chances are they had this biometrics in the system. Keep in mind, the Patriot Act requires all non-U.S. citizens when coming in and out of this country to submit their biometrics, their photo. So if they would have ran his face through a federal database, they would have found out who it was. It's absolutely disturbing what happened. It's absolutely disturbing. And it's not getting any easier. Again, we're going to play back that clip. I want you to pay attention to her body language in clip four. Let's replay that one.
Video played a big role in this case. The neighbor's video, the rental car video, mm-hmm. but not the video from the building that he walked in freely both before when he got in the confrontation and when he came back in and decided to kill people. You didn't have cameras in that building. Just say it so we can get this over. And my next question is, will you put
Dan, you
cameras
in, follow up.
Will
yeah.
you put the cameras in that building? Yeah. Will you walk cameras in that building?
Yeah, you know, I think we need to look back. We'll look at everything that is done, but I do not think a lack of cameras in that building it had anything to do with what happened there. And we will
Thank
go
you,
forward.
Right over here.
Thank you.
Notice how there's a lack of care, dismissive, then someone comes in and saves her. You see, this is what's going on right now. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. It's a little smirk on her face that tells you just that. They don't care. Two students lost their lives. They know they're about to be sued. They know they're about to be sued. The president just sits there and she smirks. She smirks. Doesn't actually care for those students. So you can't tell me that woman cares about those students. She's in a horrible job since day one getting in front of that podium and trying to deliver some basic information to the public. Why even put yourself out there if you're just going to be human garbage and not do anything and smirk at the podium? Again, this is what's going on right now over at Brown University. It's pretty insane. And then you'd also assume that probably the family of the MIT nuclear scientist who was killed, he'll probably possibly sue as well. Because if they did have those cameras in the classroom or around the classroom or just on campus, I mean, the fact that someone's able to walk onto a college campus in 2025 and not have anything is obscene. I mean, look at this one. $8 billion this college had accessible and they just don't have any cameras around the area. What are the odds that the shooter knew that? What are the odds? Again, non-U.S. citizen, all they had to do is get a still image of him. They could have ran his biometrics, ID'd him that day, because the federal database does have their biometrics if you are a non-U.S. citizen. We could have figured this out pretty quickly. Now, again, I'm not in and I'm not advocating for a surveillance state, but college campuses in 2025 should have cameras. You should know who's coming onto any school grounds. An absolute failure on their behalf, and they're not even trying to hide it from the American people. They're laughing, they're smirking. I feel horrible for the victim's family in all of this, all of them, all three of them, and those that were wounded in the shooting. You have an incompetent police department who did the bare minimum at best. Then they shifted blame a couple of times over to the FBI, saying that we handed over this tip over to the FBI, which somehow, some way, the president of the United States thought the suspect was arrested. That wasn't true. He had to issue a correction. How does the president of the United States not know? Well, obviously, there's someone who's feeding him inaccurate information. and whether that came from the FBI directly so they could give themselves a pat on the back. By the way, what's this new trend? I've seen it before in press conferences. Usually it takes a couple of seconds for them to do it. But now there's this new trend whenever we see like a mass shooting or a horrific terror attack where every member in law enforcement and in government gives themselves pats on the back. We did an incredible job at responding to this. Yeah. Bravo PD. Great job. FBI. Great job. Let's bring the president up so we can all clap for her. How about you stop and just give us the information? Give us the information. You want to do it at the end? Fine. But now they lead with that, where they all congratulate one another for doing a great job. You know, yesterday we're watching the press conference and I'm like, all right, at any point now, they'll stop with this nonsense. But they go around and they just give each other pats on the back. It's so upsetting to sit back and watch. People are dead. People are dead. You didn't do a great job. You failed. And then they sat there and they just keep doing it. They just kept doing it last night. I know I wasn't the only one. I was watching on X yesterday and so people were fired up and angry at the fact that they continue to do just that. How can you say congratulations, we did a great job investigating this? It took you days to find this person and he ended up putting a bullet through his own head. You would have caught him sooner. Guess what? That MIT scientist, maybe he'd still be alive. Maybe he'd still be alive. So again, time and time again, these people just continue to go out there and pretend like we did the best we could do. The problem here is they don't admit to any types of errors that were made throughout this investigation. So what happens? Well, it gets worse and worse and worse. And we continue to see it after a terror attack. These DEI hires just sit there and pretend like they did the best thing that they could do, the best job they could do. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, well, guess what? It only gets worse and worse and worse. We live in a surveillance state. There's no excuse for why they didn't have this man's biometrics ran through the federal database and had him ID'd within moments of that shooting. And according, as you see here, according to local reports, Brown University apparently has over 1,200 surveillance cameras. So what happened? Were the cameras down? Was there a hacking situation where those images were deleted? Where the cameras were temporarily down? I mean, these are legit questions. A lot of people actually don't like, companies specifically don't like to admit it when they're hacked. And it takes down their systems, whether it's security systems or personnel decisions or, I mean, sorry, a personal information that's hacked into. So we have so many questions. And unfortunately, Brown University, because they know they're about to be sued into oblivion right now, is not going to be handing over that information. It's a story I'll continue to follow, of course. This story isn't over anytime soon, and we're not backing down from this one. Folks, I want to switch gears up a little bit right now and tell you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we just launched today our brand new product, The Ultimate Power. It will help you bring energy, focus, blood flow, and so much more. This is an incredible item right now. We just launched 30% off by purchasing three or more bottles. It's for a limited time right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. It's also great for endurance as well. Head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Make sure you grab some of this. This is the Patriot Punch flavor. And I'm hearing this is great. I'll try this on later on the show, of course. But head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. The more you buy, the more you save over at the alexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more to discuss, specifically those Epstein files, so if you're coming out any moment now, I'll bring you the latest on that in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. You know, I'm actually reading my information sheet right now on our brand new Ultimate Power powder that we just launched today. Interesting enough, fun little fact here. It has natural caffeine in it. Natural caffeine. About 100 milligrams, equivalent to about one cup of coffee. And it apparently, and I'll try this in a little bit, it apparently doesn't give you that mid-afternoon crash. That's a big one. That's a big one. It also has all the really important vitamins in it as well, like B12 and vitamin B6, which is great for those exact reasons alone. And the best part about this, folks, just to kind of like add a little bit more to it, is if you need another reason to buy Ultimate Power right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, when you buy a bottle of this, you actually get more and more discounts. So what do I mean by that? Well, 10% off is what you're going to get when you buy one. If you buy two bottles, you get 20% off. And if you buy three, you get 30% off right now.
And every purchase gets you about 100 times the entries to win that Ford Raptor, plus $10,000 in cash. And of course, the best part about all of this is it helps keep this operation alive. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We're excited about this. I will definitely start trying this one next because I think this one's really important for you. So many of you guys now, I've been battling a cold. I'm good now. I'm on the other side of all of this, but I could use an energy boost. And so that will be my next go-to. All right, let's go back to all of the stories you guys wanted to talk about today. Specifically, though, Epstein files. As many of you guys know, Congress finally did something. They finally did something. They passed, obviously, the legislation that was supposed to force the DOJ to release the Epstein files, forcing President Trump to sign it into law. And here we are, 30-day mark. Just happens to be a Friday, which we call a Friday news dump. And it also just happens to be a Friday before the holidays. So they might think you're not paying attention. We're paying attention, though. The deputy AG, Todd Blanche, was just on Fox News just a few moments ago. And just so you don't have to watch, we do over here on Infor. So, of course, we watch all of these interviews to give you the information that you need to know. And so in clip 12, this is what Todd Blanche detailed specifically in regards to those files that are going to be released in just a few hours. Take a listen.
Release. So in these files, are we going to learn any new information about Epstein and people that may have been associated with him?
So, yes. So today is the 30 days where, and I expect that we're going to release several hundred thousand documents today. And those documents will come in all different forms, photographs and other materials associated with all of the investigations into Mr. Epstein. And just so everybody appreciates, President Trump has said for years that he wants full transparency and he wants the Department of Justice to release everything that we can with respect to this investigation and cases. And we saw during the Biden administration radio silence from the very Democrats that are screaming from congressional steps today that we haven't done enough. But guess what? President Trump signed that law 30 days ago, and we have been working tirelessly since that day to make sure that we get every single document that we have within the Department of Justice, review it and get it to the American public. Now, the most important thing that the Attorney General has talked about, that Director Patel has talked about, is that we protect victims. And so what we're doing is we are looking at every single piece of paper that we are going to produce, making sure that every victim, their name, their identity, their story, to the extent it needs to be protected, is completely protected.
All right, obviously, we want the victims protected. That's common sense here. But it's whether or not they abuse that redaction power. That's going to be the key element in all of this. They are obviously not very trustworthy these days. We saw what happened the first time they were expected to release the first phase of the Epstein files. Isn't that crazy, folks? They were supposed to release the first phase. Remember when Pam Bondi decided to use those social media influencers who were at the White House, not for that, hand them binders, pretend like there was something of substance in those binders, that we found out there was nothing in there. She knew there was nothing in there. How do we know that? Well, she put a letter in there to the FBI director saying that they didn't hand over everything. You can't miss a good photo op. And so she had them all walk out there with the folders, with the binders. And it was a big nothing burger. So the first phase didn't go over well. As you can see, we never got a second phase after that. Even Susie Wiles saying that it was an absolute mess. She was a little bit more elegant in her decision making when she used those words, though, or used some words to describe how much of a mess it was. And now we're at a point where we're forcing these people to admit that this is a top priority for the American people. Now, Democrats obviously use this moment as an opportunity to stir up some controversy. Go figure. But again, here we are. We might get some information. We might. My personal opinion on all of this is that all of the important information that would have possibly led to some type of criminal prosecution of those whose last names rhyme with, like, Clinton, it's probably all gone. I could not imagine the last regime leaving that stuff behind. This was a commitment from President Donald Trump on the campaign trail. Democrats didn't demand these documents when they had
full control. They only did that when they were able to politically use it to their advantage to go after President Trump. Let's remind you all that. It's an hour waiting as these documents are expected to be released any hour now. Now, according to reports, again, the Justice Department is going to be releasing this. It's going to be thousands of pages, records. Those documents are going to be in all different types of forms, specifically photographs and any material associated with the investigation into Epstein. Now, yesterday, Democrats decided to drop some more photos from what they've received from the Epstein estate. Love to see who the people are behind the Epstein estate, by the way. But House Democrats released 68 images. And it's interesting because a lot of it's, again, you can't 100% really go after these people because some of this is just dinners. And you'd have to know that these people knew exactly who Epstein was. I mean, you know how many times, like, I've gone to dinners, business dinners, conference meetings, and you just meet people who are sitting at a table with you and you have a conversation. Doesn't mean you're associated with Epstein. So just keep that in mind. But they're talking about one of the events, which hosted obviously a lot of top tech people that are in the photographs. It was the Edge Group's annual dinner back in 2011. Now, again, these are just people that they're listing in here that were in attendance. So I don't think it's fair to really kind of read off their names because it doesn't mean that they were actually friendly with Epstein or making trips to the island to rape young girls. But Democrats being very, very particular in which information they obviously release. We saw what they did with President Trump. Well, they thought they were releasing an image of President Trump that we haven't seen thus far. And they intentionally blurred out they put black boxes over the faces of the women he was in a photo with. And it's like, yeah, we've actually received that photo. It's been public for a while now. And those are adult women. But it's all about intentionally trying to be misleading here, because if President Trump had any ties to Jeffrey Epstein, you would have heard about it by now. I mean, they tried their very best. They literally took two shots at him, two separate instances of trying to kill him. They tried throwing him in prison. 150 charges? This one. Isn't this crazy? They tried to make it seem like these were kids. The guy takes photos with everyone. He's a celebrity. And so this is what they do. Now, there were some photographs I thought were very interesting. Obviously, involving people like Bill Gates, who have been accused of his very close ties with Epstein. And I thought that was interesting, those photos as well. Now, again, the images being released aren't images that I would say are convincing that these individuals had any type of ties to what was going on behind closed doors or was happening over on the island. And it's interesting, too, because the Bill Gates images include photos of women and other images while they were aboard his private jet. Also included in some of the photos, obviously, is Woody Allen, as we mentioned, President Trump, according to Daily Mail as well, and Steve Bannon, who has publicly spoken about his role with Epstein. And in not being a sexual predator when he's denied those accusations. Again, this was a time where some of these people may have not known. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I just want to know who was actually, and this is the problem, we have so many victims who have come forward, but they don't say names. Why don't they say names? I guess they're in fear of their lives. That's probably the most common sense response to that one. But again, I think it'd be really interesting to hear some names get dropped in all of this. Because I don't want to sit there and wrongfully accuse anyone of anything, but these girls who are still alive, they know who went out there and who was the rapist and who wasn't. And so I'd like to hear them drop names. Maybe they're afraid of a defamation lawsuit. Maybe that's what we should have pushed for in Congress. For those who are known victims, that they could release the names and they would be immune to any type of defamation lawsuits. That might have been interesting, of course, but Also, I guess the men do have a right to defend themselves publicly. It's pretty much a toss-up on this one. So we'll continue to watch, obviously, as the documents get released. I'll keep my eye on it, try to speed read through it as much as I can. We'll also use a couple of keywords to see if we could get you information as fast as possible on those documents. I'll keep you in the loop, though, as that develops. Let's turn to Australia. Australia's got a big problem on their hands right now. As we reported yesterday, there were seven men who were arrested in Sydney who were apparently heading over to Bondi Beach. That was the initial report. Now, these seven men were driving in two separate vehicles. Law enforcement got a tip. They rammed their vehicle, arrested all of these men. Well, apparently they're about to be released. Take a listen to the latest update that we have in clip five. Take a listen.
The information received was that Bondi may have been one of a number of locations that the males were intending to attend, but the reason for attending is unknown. The justification for their ongoing detention no longer exists, subject to a review of evidence. They will continue to be monitored whilst in New South Wales, and we will work closely with our Victorian and Commonwealth law enforcement partners.
All right, so how quickly that story has died out, because I tried looking for updates to see who these men are. Are they native? Are they not? They don't look native. But again, you can't assume anything. You got to kind of go where the facts bring you. And oh, how quickly the information just poof, disappears. Were these men armed? I mean, these are basic questions you could answer. They've just decided not to. They've decided not to. The response that they were, I mean, the fact that the police rammed their vehicle tells you everything you need to know. They thought it was urgent. They thought that this was a big, major issue that needed to be stopped immediately. And there was a funeral going on for a 10-year-old. So again, that was one of the victims. We're waiting to see more on this front. But, you know, the Australian officials coming out, I mean, they are just absolute scumbags. They use any type of terror attack to validate crunching down on what I would deem are your rights to protect your family and your loved ones. And let me remind you, back in the mid-90s, before they did their first major crunch down on gun ownership, there were about, I think it was 16% of Australian homeowners owned firearms. Well, that was quickly pushed down to 6%. And now that 6%, well, they're under attack. They're under attack. See, this is the problem, folks. They don't want to address the issue here. The issue here isn't the guns. The issue here is the Islamic terrorists that you've imported into your country. But you can't let a good crisis go to waste. The Prime Minister of Australia was actually asked about this, Anthony Albanese. And he was asked specifically about Islam and the threats that it imposes. Take a listen to clip six and his response, or lack of response.
To follow on Ruben's question, is radical Islam, in your view, the greatest domestic security threat Australia faces?
Well, the assessments are that that is one of the issues that we're dealing with. But I want to deal with all of the threats, whether it be extremist perversions of Islam leading to support for the ideology promoted by ISIS, whether it be also concerned about the issue of sovereign citizens killing police in Victoria and Queensland. I'm concerned about neo-Nazis thinking it's okay to march down our streets dressed in black, not worrying about their faces being covered, explicitly promoting that as well. Some of these things are not new. James Salim, National Action Person, tried to kill Eddie Fundy from the African National Congress when I was a student. I was a candidate against that reprehensible fascist at Sydney University in 1983. This has been around a long period of time. There are issues have escalated, and we need to take action against all of them.
Yeah, we need to take action against all of them. How about you just address the major issue here? The major issue. What motivated them to grab these firearms that they legally obtained and then use it to kill Jews who were just enjoying the holiday on a beach? It's the same motive that's happening all around the world. All around the world. It's the reason why Germans can't go out and enjoy a good Christmas market. Not just them, obviously. It's also taking place in France. They can't even go out for New Year's Eve. They'll tell you, oh, we can't do a New Year's celebration anymore. Not because, well, of Islam. No, no, no. We just can't control the crowds. Well, you were able to control those crowds 20 years ago. What's changed? Well, you've imported the third world into your country. Men from the third world. They are violent. They are going after people in your country. And because you are just too cowardly to address the true issue here, you're going to sit here and go, let's address all the issues here. Let's go off to the far right. The far right. No, no, no. The issue here is Islam. And their refusal to address that shows you that they're all cowards. All cowards. Their behavior, their response shows that they are all committing treason. They've abandoned their people. And instead of being direct and saying Islam was the biggest motive behind this attack, we're going to sit here and dance around the issue. We're going to pretend like it's not, because we're all too afraid of what's going to happen next, because they know that these individuals are violent. We see it all the time in the UK. Sadly, there was an attack where this man was literally going after someone who has criticized Islam. This Islamist was trying to stab him, had a knife in his hand and was trying to stab him. And the police officer that intercepted and was trying his best to stop the attack wasn't trying to stop the attacker that was armed. No, no, no. That was the difficult one. Instead, he pinned down the victim. Now, how'd that work out for the police officer? Well, sadly, he was gashed in the throat and died. But this is the problem here. They'd rather go after the more aggressive, well, the less aggressive ones, rather than taking on the true fight. The true fight here is Islam. You've imported it to your country. These people hate you. They hate you. And again, not all. But folks, if you're reading the Quran, you truly believe everything that's in it, then you truly believe that you were called to carry out a terror attack like we saw unravel. Like we saw unravel. And so it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around all of this and pretend like they really are doing their best right now to prevent this from happening again. No, folks, if they were trying to prevent this from happening again, you know what they'd do? They'd go after the jihadists. They'd publicly execute this man here on your screen. But they're not really about this issue. This is not an issue that they truly want to take on. Instead, the issue that they're going to take on right now is their new buyback program. In Australia right now, officials are telling citizens that they're going to be buying back their firearms. It's not a buyback, folks, because they were never your firearms in the first place. You can't buy them back. Can't buy them back. You were trying to seize their firearms because you let in Islamic terrorists. And I hear the reports that the son isn't. He was born there. Doesn't matter. He was radicalized. And his family is not native. So again, not supposed to be there. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about this buyback plan that they're trying to push out there. Buyback sounds really good, right? We're not taking your guns. We're buying them back from you. But you can't buy back guns that didn't belong to you in the first place. They are trying to seize firearms from people who should be able to defend their family. In fact, given the fact that Australian police failed so badly to defend those people on that beach that day, what do I mean by that? Waiting over 15 minutes before engaging with the shooters. Because why? Well, they hired a bunch of females on their force who didn't want to engage. They were afraid because, well, they had rifles and they had handguns. According to reports, they were intimidated by that. Women shouldn't belong in law enforcement agencies anyway. I'm going to say it. Yeah, there are some that are rare and I truly believe belong. Maybe detectives. That could be a role for police, for females. But as a whole, those who are going to have to confront violent men, those women know that they don't stand a chance. That's why they backed down. That's why they were hiding behind vehicles, waiting for their male colleagues to come and save them. And it's not just that. When they did actually open fire and engage with these shooters, they actually shot the wrong person. They actually shot, according to reports, the one brazen individual who was unarmed and tried his very best to tackle the shooters. He was shot. But now Australian officials want you to believe that they're doing a buyback because it sounds good. Take a listen to clip 7.
We expect hundreds of thousands of firearms will be collected and destroyed through this scheme. Consistent with the approach that was taken in 1996, the government is proposing that states and territories will be responsible for the collection, processing and payment to individuals for surrendered firearms. The Australian Federal Police will then be responsible for the destruction of these firearms.
Oh, that's what we need. That's what we need. We actually need, we need less people who are capable of defending their family members. It's crazy, folks. This is all crazy. Time and time again, we see when law enforcement is needed to respond appropriately to issues, terrorist attacks, any type of issue, they are just incapable of doing so. Why? Because they thought they were going to get a cushy job. They thought this would never happen to them, that they would never have to confront Islamic terrorists. And they thought, we're just going to collect a paycheck. Now, obviously, that's not all law enforcement agents. I understand that. There are tons of officers out there that truly do put their lives on the line. But those women, we saw the footage. We saw the videos. We saw the photos. Were hiding behind cars while civilians were being slaughtered on the beach for celebrating Hanukkah. So the response now is, well, we're going to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. And police are going to be the only ones with guns. And terrorists. Whatever they want to carry out a terror attack, they'll find a way. They'll find a way. And again, to remind you folks, there was two incredible people that day who thought they could take down the shooter when they saw him come out of his vehicle with an ISIS flag on his car. They tried their very best to tackle him. A couple did. And sadly, both of them lost their lives. Had more courage than police officers that were armed that day. So again, that's what we're dealing with here. You would have given those two guns, I'm sure they would have taken them out. I'm sure they would have taken them out. It's absolutely devastating. Truly is devastating. And when we learn more, we find out that the shooters apparently were over in the Philippines learning how to shoot, or going through training. That's according to their passports. And a very interesting correlation to the, you know, the Las Vegas shooter, you guys remember that? Apparently, according, was also in the Philippines for about a month for hunting trips as well. Probably something to look into. Probably something to look into. Oh, and speaking about heroes, apparently the Arab media is actually attacking that brave man who apparently is from one of the Arab nations. I'm not sure which one, but specifically the one who went there and tackled one of the shooters, well, they're saying he's a traitor. These are the people you've imported into your countries. Good luck. Good luck. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere as we kick off the second hour of the show. Got a ton more stories to read and catch you up on, of course. Plus, we have a lineup of incredible guests joining us in just a little bit. So buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.